Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'll tell you about it.
All Christian parents want their kids to draw closer to Christ. That's an email we received yesterday.
There we go.
We keep getting emails from Mary Kate Warner, who is a Sunday school teacher, who's made some kind of weird flashcards for her Sunday school, and she wants the world to use them.
Share the love. Episode 192. 192, of course, famous for being the number you used to dial on your landline to get directory inquiries. Remember?
Was it 192?
I think so, yeah.
I thought it was 123, or was that the speaking clock?
123 was the speaking clock, yeah.
Imagine what
at the third
a child...
stroke. Let me try and do it. At the third stroke, the time sponsored by Accurist will be 2:42 and 10 seconds. That was fascinating because he had to make that exactly 10 seconds long.
Oh, did he?
Because it would update by 10 seconds each time.
Oh, I didn't even think of the logistics of that.
The time sponsored by Accurist will
be... His voice is a bit more, not shrill, but crisp. The times... No.
It wasn't like that.
The time sponsored by Accurist... No.
It was definitely deeper. And he would have had to have done every single...
Accurist will be...
Combination of numbers.
7, 53, and 20 seconds.
Yeah. It has to be 10 seconds each time.
And every April Fool's Day, they'll go, it is the 13th hour. And he'd do a rap... He did the rap for ages. He was just in the fridge. Remember Club Call when you used to ring up your football team?
Yeah.
And
I never used to do that.
Wait on the line. I used to do it because Newcastle were a buying club back then.
I don't think they had one for Portsmouth.
He used to ring up and he used to go, welcome to Club Call at Newcastle United, and play like local hero for a bit. And then they'd spend ages sort of going, if you want to learn about the transfers coming in, bearing in mind this was run by the club, so they would know exactly who was coming in and coming out. They'd sort of, press one. You press one, they go, and the transfers that are supposed to be coming in this summer are Roberto Baggio and all this stuff and all this bollocks. Like, they would just make shit up and people would, and I'd ring it up. Massive money grab.
Only
next to ringing up the Lucasfilm or LucasArts rather help channel when I was having trouble with the old Monkey Islands and the Loom, ringing them up and trying to get some help for the video games there. It was very, very, very time consuming and also phone bill destroying as well. My mum and dad did not enjoy my company.
I think it was something like lucrative, like 60p a minute or something.
It's ridiculous.
When we had that technical issue last week, was it last week or this week? Last week.
Yes, okay.
Last week.
Right, yeah.
This time last week, maybe.
Yeah, probably.
We talked for quite a lot about a movie that I had seen that, strangely for you, Pete, you actually seemed interested in.
Right.
And then we lost it. So I'm proposing I'm going to bring it to the table again.
Mm.
It was a movie on Netflix called Unacknowledged.
Right.
Now, it's about UFOs and alien technology. And while I'll concede that it does go down the road of being patently ridiculous at some points, there is some really interesting angles to it. And the main one being that, you know, a lot of chat about alien spotting and alien technology and alien abduction and all the rest of it are traditionally the bastion of, I don't want to be unfair, but like, it normally is categorized as people who are rednecks in the south of the US or whatever, saying that they... they've been abducted or whatever, and it's kind of ridiculed chiefly for that reason.
Yeah.
Apart from the fact that it's obviously, the chances of it happening are very, very, very slim.
Mm.
So, what Unacknowledged does pretty well is it says, well, do you know what? There are quite a lot of professional people, including astronauts, pilots, radar people, military people, etc., who have seen these things, have reported these things, have been involved in these things.
Mm.
but it's never really been talked about. And so Unacknowledged, I think, does a pretty good job of getting them together and getting to talk about it. And it's people who've walked on the moon and stuff. It's not it's not just anyone. And so although I think it's mad, a lot of it, some of it, I wonder if there is a kernel there.
Do you not think it's just, if you are a pilot and you're flying for 10, 11, 12 hours at a time somewhere, and you're sort of dozing off, or you're half asleep, or you're just not really concentrating on what's going on?
Well, first of all, you should be, all right, because it's important.
Yeah, you should be. But like, just thinking about it, like, you probably just, your mind just kind of does stuff when you're in that kind of emotional stasis. You're just concentrating on one thing, and something goes outside. And bearing in mind, there are like freak weather effects, like ball lightning and St. Elmo's fire and all, you know,
aurora borealis. Yeah.
And so the things will be happening above the clouds, and, you know, meteorites and comets and stuff like that. Things do happen. So I'm not saying, I'm just saying that I think we would have more tangible experiences with extraterrestrial life.
Do you want to believe? Mulder.
I just think it would all end, wouldn't it? I mean, look at the way that we treat anywhere we go. We just drill into it. They would basically, anyone who had alien technology would basically, it would be a big Hoover, and it would just suck up planets to be processed into minerals that they use up in the cosmos. And
for those listening, Peter's waving a gigantic Hoover around the studio.
Imagine a gigantic Hoover. It would just suck up the Earth, and it would just process us, and we'd be dead. It'd be bloody miserable. So I do want to believe. I do obviously know that there's something out there, but they're just so far. I just don't think we'd know. They'd just suck us up and use us, I think, for minerals. They wouldn't care.
Use me, Daddy.
Use me. They'd hurt us.
Some of those examples of people on you know, pilots seeing these UFOs. Mm. Of course, they could be unannounced, unconfirmed technology that we don't know about widely, right? But they've been confirmed by radar people and air traffic control people and at the same time. So there's definitely
something
I want to say crafts that are there that are perhaps unannounced, unclassified technology being tested or whatever.
Are you saying that? Oh, what, as in like, so, the, so they're military, is, they're military classified.
So the stealth bomber, the stealth bomber, right? Okay, for example, right, yeah. That was made in the '70s or something. So that's 50 years ago.
Yeah,
now.
So they're obviously.
So why is there not other stuff happening?
Oh, of course there are. Yeah, of course there is. So what are we saying then? So that aliens have never been here because people are just testing aircraft and stuff like that?
I'm inclined to think that, yeah.
Super Concorde. Yeah, I agree with that part. Yeah.
Okay.
So, that, yeah, the aliens haven't been here, or if they have, they're very hands-off.
So
they're going to the zoo
and
looking at the animals.
So Arthur C. Clarke said it, either we're alone in the universe or we're not, and either way, it's terrifying.
Yeah, massively.
Yeah.
I think that's more scary, being alone in the universe, that we're just the only planet that can sustain any kind of like life that has independent thought, if indeed we do have independent thought, which probably gets a bit deeper. More importantly, Wycliffe Well in Australia, one of the top five places to see aliens,
top five places to see aliens. How do they judge that?
Sightings are guaranteed every few days. The holiday park has.
Is that a kangaroo? Is it someone who doesn't know what a kangaroo is? It's an alien. It's bouncing everywhere.
Alien mask. Look at the state of that display they've got. That's bad, isn't it? That's bad.
Do you remember that Jeremy Beadle prank show Beadle's about?
Right.
Where he crash landed a fake alien in a woman's backyard.
Yes, that's
she
right.
Didn't
know.
And she ended up, do you know what the first thing she said to the alien was?
Was that a cup of tea?
Yeah, would you like a cup of tea? It's amazing. That's right.
There are very few things that make me happy to be British. That drunk, I think he's Polish, drunk racist Polish man saying, shouting at a black person to get out of the train because he's, you know, a racist or whatever. And then a bloke going over and going, "You are being ridiculous."
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
That makes you proud to be a Londoner. And I think something like that makes me, I find the idea of British identity troubling at the best of times, but offering an alien a cup of tea, it's wonderful.
Yeah. And the other thing is, it's a tiny little alien as well. I mean, the size of the cup of tea. We're getting onto more familiar Luke and Pete show territory. And people should email in hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. Maybe they've seen UFOs. They can describe the situation.
Yes, please.
Maybe they can tell us about going to Nevada or Area 51 or Groom Lake or anywhere like that. But on more sort of terrestrial ground, what about this I found? Man ordered to collect fridge he threw off Spanish cliff.
Oh, I saw this guy. Was it in Sevilla or something? Where was it?
Almeria, I think. Right. Police forced a man to retrieve a fridge he threw down a ravine near the southern Spanish city of Almeria. A tweet posted by the police shows that he had to haul it back up. He was fined €45,000 for the trouble as well, made to dispose of it properly.
So he filmed...
That's a great punishment for someone fly tipping.
He filmed himself...
Chucking it off.
It's quite a spectacular video because it really does slide down the hill, doesn't it?
It goes miles, yeah.
Yeah, and then of course he had to get it back out somehow. How did they do it? Like a winch or something?
It's a long way. I think it's the punishment absolutely befitting the crime.
Massively. Well, it's the exact reverse of the crime, and you know.
He had to do it with the help of his friend. They had to carry it up by hand.
They had a winch, didn't they?
I think there's a rope. There's like a rope involved, but I think that's just to stop it sliding down again.
They presumably had a Indiana Jones in there.
Yeah,
little Indiana Jones.
It's going to be an impending nuclear explosion.
Imagine if the police didn't even bother looking inside the fridge and it was just full of body parts.
Full of gold.
And it was like,
Nazi
they've, killed, they've killed somebody and they've put it in a fridge. Yeah, incredible.
Have you ever done any fly tipping, Pete?
No, but I did once run full force into a big fridge that was kind of up on one side in Camden. I jumped into it and... basically threw my full force into the fridge and it sort of went down.
Why did you do that?
Because I was a little Oike back in the day, and it was satisfying though. It was like basically rugby tackling a fridge, but from within.
So a friend of mine at university was getting up to university alcohol-fueled hijinks.
Mm.
And there was two topiary-reed hedge figures in the middle of the town centre.
Right.
I can't remember what they were doing. Bless you.
Thank you.
I think they might have only been there for... a short period of time anyway.
Mm.
But he was drunk and he decided he was going to rugby tackle them.
Mm.
So he ran full pelt into them and rugby tackled them, not realising they were obviously held up with quite severely hard metal and shattered his shoulder doing it.
I don't think I like that sort of thing.
Nah. He's paid the price there. He's paid the price there. There was a really, frankly, quite horrific story that came out on the same day as Fridgegate.
Right.
Which I really enjoyed for terrible reasons, of a chap called Terry Brazier. Do you know what happened with Terry Brazier? He went into Leicester Royal Infirmary, your old stomping ground.
Have I ever been there? Yes, I have been there.
What for?
I jumped down some stairs and thought I'd really damaged my ankle. Again, an ankle injury.
Always the ankle.
This is an impact one, though. My ankle went up like a right old billy-o. It did. It was horrible.
And what was the prognosis?
It was just
Diagnosis, ice.
Elevation. Is it ice?
What are they diagnosed? Like a severe sprain or something?
I think I just, like a compressed sprain kind of jobby.
All right. Anyway, so Terry Brazier went into Leicester Royal Infirmary for a routine Botox injection into his bladder. Okay. What do you think happened to him?
I do actually know the story.
Oh, come on. Tell the listeners then. Give them a minute to guess and tell them.
He was deshrouded.
Is that a technical term?
No. Probably not. I think the NHS call it a never incident or something. They call it they should never
update that because it has happened. They removed his penile veil of tears.
What do you keep in yours? Pennies.
The hospital said it was deeply and genuinely sorry because they accidentally circumcised him. He said after the procedure, he was left waiting for 2 hours until they broke the news. I mean, hang on a minute. Look at your own cock.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 hours to look at your own cock.
You'd be wondering, I mean, presumably it's a non-invasive. What was he getting put in there? Silicon?
Botox injection to his bladder.
Right.
Pete, I'm just saying, it should not take any person 2 hours to realise they've been circumcised. Unless it's kind of, I suppose it's probably got anaesthetic and it's covered.
Yeah, but you would assume, you would sort of go, this is more invasive than it was, because presumably it would just been injection straight in the bladder, bit of botulism, bang, there we go. But, you know, you would notice, why is the top of my penis?
Would you like it when the...
Why have you been farting around with that? That's not my bladder.
If you were getting an injection into your bladder,
right.
Would you like it if the nurse at the time went, bang!
And the dirt is gone.
Bang! Is it done?
Kablamo!
Sorry, have you done it or not? Bang! I said bang. That means it's done.
Bang, bang, bang. Machine gun.
And this is really British as well. The 70-year-old man said he replied when they broke the news. Oh, have you? What else could I say? I was stunned. I couldn't believe they were telling me.
Did he have a settlement or something? It was just
yes, that was my money. Next point to you. So you don't know the settlement, do you? You can't remember.
20 grand?
Yeah, it was exactly 20 grand.
Why do I always remember these stories and I can't remember my names usually?
Can't remember you put your keys.
Can't remember my keys.
Where would you rank that in terms of value?
What do you mean, as in 20 grand? No,
Foreskin's 20 grand.
I'd want more for a foreskin.
It's been very good to you over the years.
Even if it's 70, 70, even if you're 70 years old. I would, at that age, I'd be like, oh, my penis looks a bit different. Something new, innit? Because everything gets a bit samey at that age, isn't it?
I know what you mean.
Suddenly,
yeah.
Like, if you're de-shrouded.
Got a new lease of life, yeah?
I mean, we do have a lot of American listeners, and there'll be a lot of American men without their foreskin. What's that all about, lads? Come on. Some of it is religious. Even then.
Some of it's for health reasons as well.
Some of it's very little, though.
Yeah.
It's nonsense. Like, why are you doing that? It's there for a reason. It's not. We've not evolved it out. It's fine. It's not a gallstone. It's fine, guys. Stop making us sound weird because we're not mutilating ourselves, all right, guys? Yeah?
You want more than... I mean, I am sort of inclined to agree with that, I think. But you'd want more than 20. I mean, I'd like to have been... I mean, it's horrific. And obviously, Terry does have my sympathy, of course. On the other hand, this is great frivolous content for a middling podcast. So
thank you.
He's going to have to take it on the chin. Or the cock.
Or the cock.
But would you like to have been
the fortune
to see the face of the surgeon as he realised that he'd made the mistake?
BBC television, Guy Gormer.
It would be exactly like that, wouldn't it?
Ah.
Like,
to be honest, out of all of the things you could do, I think it's probably one of the more okay things to do. Like, you're not removing a leg. You're not removing the wrong leg or, you know, all the big things that could happen. A foreskin removal. I mean, you should know what you've got on. Like, I'm terrible at diaries, but I mean, that just, you know, you instead of... Because...
It would be interesting to know the process of how that actually happened.
Well, exactly, because presumably in the theatre that they're doing it, they're presumably all of like the forceps and all of like the bits of equipment will be there. So the botulism, the vial of botulism will be there.
Imagine if it was like local anaesthetic and the guy, and he's awake the whole time, and the surgeon just starts fiddling with his penis. He's thinking,
he's a wrong one.
Well, I should trust the doctor. I should trust the surgeon because, you know, he knows what he's doing. But at what point do you go, whoa,
steady.
Sorry. What are you doing? Yeah. And then he just goes, bang!
I've started, so I'll finish. But yeah, exactly. You would be looking down and sort of seeing him do that kind of caper and you'd be like, this is not normal. Are you going to replace that? That's not how you go in usually.
You put a fake one on.
Maybe with the botulism, it goes down the penis.
What is botulism?
Botox. It's the word for it. It's not a disease, is it? It's like a little...
You wouldn't go down the cock to get to the bladder, would you?
It's a good access point, isn't it? How would you get down to your bladder, Sunshine? I mean, that's why you get a catheter.
My bladder's been very good to me over the years.
You put a catheter?
Yeah, no.
I'm always very proud of my bladder. I think I've said it before.
It will go carry on. Remind us.
I'll go to my bedroom. I will go to my boudoir, needing a bit of a pee, and I'll just sleep straight through.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not one of those people, even in my advance in the years, who needs to get up in the middle of the night. Rarely.
We both know one person whose life sounds like a real bind.
Yeah.
Football ramble, Jim Campbell.
Yeah. But
constantly
also,
urinating that lad.
He is, but also, I've got a little trade off of myself. So if I've been drinking, and I've been drinking. I've got to be doing something the next day.
Yeah.
I don't need a hangover. So what I do is I bolt as much water as I can before I go to bed. But I know that I'm probably going to wake up about 3 or 4 to have to go to the toilet. But I'll take that trade off. But ordinarily, if I've not been boozing, I'm good as gold.
I drop ibuprofen.
Do you? In advance?
Ibuprofen. Well, no, like on the at night.
Yeah,
get
before
in,
you go to bed.
Cut ibuprofen. Paramol, if it's a particularly heavy one, and you really need to get out the next day.
Really?
Paramol helps you sleep because it's codeine. Codeine, baby.
Okay, yeah, we don't recommend that.
I do, it's brilliant.
Let's take a break so Peep can drop his Paramol. We'll be back in a minute.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
Wonderful.
Julian Assange there.
We haven't had a Julian Assange update.
We had one last week.
Yeah. I need more Assange.
Do you think people are bored of succulent Chinese meal guy yet?
I don't know. I mean, I'm still very much... People keep sending me videos of him, so...
Do an email, Peter.
I will do an email.
Do a bloody email, will you? Hello at lukeandpeter.com to get in touch to further... aid and abet our misspent adulthood.
Have we spoken about this? Because I forget what we had to cast off into space. When we lost the emails. Did we do the list of excellent stories of people who died while masturbating?
No, we haven't done that.
Hi guys, I've been meaning to send this to you for a while. A couple of completely unrelated things you may be interested in. I imagine one will appeal more to Luke and one to Pete. I'll let you figure out which one is which. A few years ago, a couple of my friends discovered this list of excellent stories of people who had unfortunately died while masturbating. I thought you might be interested in it.
Is this true?
I still remember my favourite tragedy relating to a man who'd fallen in love with his tractor, one who he had named Stone.
Are we vaguely...
We've
glossed around the edges of that, I think, at some point. Okay.
So there's no point in really going over it again, but I did very much enjoy the idea. If you could fall in love with an inanimate object, Luke, what would it be? Because I'm a big fan of the electronics and technical machinery in my life. Yeah. What would you sort of go for?
That's a really good question.
If you had to choose one thing, what means most to you in your life?
Probably... what means most to me in my life?
Yeah.
I would probably say the oversized mason jar that holds the homemade granola that my wife makes.
That is very obscure. how would you have sex with that?
Oh, more why is that even happening?
Why? What do you mean?
It wouldn't be like, not so soon after Terry Brazier. Mm. You can't do that. The man might be listening. How would I have sex with a mason jar? In many ways, it's surprising it's taken so long for you to ask me this question. 192 episodes. So you were saying that you would just wrap a lot of wires around your penis. Is that what you're saying?
No, I would choose something ergonomically useful. I need to find something that I really, really liked in my life. There's nothing really I'm really into. I like
thermal machinery. Thermal paste.
Oh, that would sting. that silicon kind of metal. Apparently, thermopaste isn't the done thing anymore.
Oh, go on. This is a massive development.
Liquid mercury. Or just mercury.
Yeah. It's a tall.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hot, so it's going to be liquid, isn't it? It's practically
meet,
a gas.
Meet my friend, Mr. Donaldson.
People are sort of putting it in their mobile phones and stuff. Like that. Well, they're not. I mean, Deviant's on the internet that I watch. Linus tech tips and stuff. But he... they
so how does it work?
It's just like a, it's just a better version of
less resistance.
But the problem is, it just transfers heat a lot better. But the problem is, it's quite liquid, so yeah. It will get everywhere.
So what do you? How does it? I don't even really know how thermal paste works anyway.
Thermal paste is just a heat transfer, so it basically fills in all of the air gaps between the processor or component and the heat sink. You're already yawning. And the aluminium heat sink,
and
it helps you dissipate.
So you're going to be upgrading your machine to incorporate that?
Oh God, no! I actually looked at my processor yesterday. I thought, is this bottlenecking the zero amount of gaming I do every week? And I thought, stop being a fucking idiot, Donaldson.
Yeah.
And just get on with the things you have to do.
Yeah. What do you call your computer a machine?
Rig. It's the rig, isn't it? It's the rig. You know that. It's the rig. 87-year-old man found naked and hanging by his belt. Allegedly the oldest victim of an autoerotic fatality ever reported.
Wow.
He was found in his living room, naked, and bound with ropes that crisscrossed his body from his legs up to his chest. Investigators discovered semen on his right hand as well as on the floor. At least he finished.
It's quite inspirational.
87 though. Yeah, I mean, still, wowzers.
Still got a load of lead in the pencil at 87. I mean, to each his own, if that's what he wants to get up to.
Your
that's
neck
up to him.
Is very fragile at that time though, isn't it?
He's gone out fighting, hasn't he? He's gone out fighting there. Man raging against the dying of a light, as Alan Thomas would say.
This case involves an underemployed man.
underemployed.
Who grew zucchini in his backyard of his house he shared with his wife. One afternoon, he desperately knocked on a neighbour's door seeking assistance because he was choking on a zucchini he'd shoved down his throat while masturbating. It was too late to save him.
I didn't expect that to go that way. I mean, don't do it now. I mean, don't mimic it. That I did not expect that.
I mean, zucchini.
First of all,
zucchinis aren't eggplants, are they?
No, it's a courgette.
Courgette. Yeah. So they could actually block the windpipe. Imagine inhaling an entire zucchini. Wow.
You just imagine the new series of.
Get it long enough so it misses the esophagus. Well, does it have to go down the esophagus? Which one's the what branches out into the lungs?
The trachea.
The trachea. Yeah. Just can you not just get one long enough to get into the stomach? Because otherwise,
no,
it's awful. Yeah. Business. It's awful.
I think what you're doing is probably erroneously trying to rationalise this.
Mm.
I don't think you need to be doing that.
Mm.
I mean, the thing is it slips out of his hand? I mean, what's going on? Because presumably he's got a firm grip around. Well. Poor choice of words. But he's got a firm grip around the zucchini as well.
Mm.
Very strange.
Mm. Do you want my last one? British.
I don't want any of them. But yeah,
Christian Etchells, remember him? Was a prominent member of the British National Front Party, which is deemed to be deemed by some to be fascist and far right and nationalist.
Oh, this is a guy from the BNP.
Yeah,
embarrassing himself. I'm all in favour of that.
He was. He'd once been jailed for throwing eggs and shouting racist taunts. In another incident, he was sentenced to a year's worth of community service for threatening a Asian taxi driver with a hunting knife. Seems like a year's bit of community service. Weird. Yeah. In August of 2004, at the age of 29, Etchells was found dead in his apartment's cupboard with a cord wrapped around his neck and a picture of a woman dressed as a schoolgirl on the floor. What I would say is, guys, if you're going to get involved with the autoerotic association, I know lots of people don't have fixtures in their rooms. The only place is the cupboard bit. People aren't going to find you, mate. Give yourself the best opportunity. Do it in a corridor. Do it. Get one of those little pull-up bars for the doorway of your house. Do it in the corridor so people can actually find you. If you do it in the cupboard and the door closes, you're not going to be found for days.
And it's going to be an awful experience for that person. Even worse experience for the person who finds you. Open the cupboard, looking for I'll just sort his clothes out while he's away. You know, and all of a sudden you're faced with that.
So again, well, they're going to have to go to the charity shop. He doesn't need them anymore.
No.
And there's semen all over them. So yes, I don't think Christian will be missed. I don't think that's going out far and wide.
What's the name of the emailer?
I've lost it now. It doesn't matter. But
if you're listening still, never email us again.
It was Mike. I'm going to not use the second name. It was Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Hello at lukeandpeacher.com is the email address. Of course, thank you very much for that. I use that term under advice. This is from Gemma.
Mm-hmm.
He says, hi guys, relatively short-term listener, first-time emailer. Nice to see people are still finding the show. Apologies for that, Gemma. Been listening since May when my friend Owen, long-time listener to The Ramble, introduced me. binge the entire back catalogue to overtake Owen and get up to date. Gemma's feeling very competitive.
Feel free to get competitive with your iTunes reviews.
Yeah, very much so.
In a positive way.
Yeah, Luke mentioned Mercury Mazes on a recent show.
Mercury Mazes?
Remember, I told you I had a maze with a Mercury thing in it.
That's right, and I said that there's no couldn't way happen. You could have had it.
They're putting them in computers now.
That's where all the Mercury went.
Pete was horrified that such a toy existed in our lifetimes. She says, when I was in year five, which is 1994, we get treats for earning merit stickers. One of which was half an hour on the Mercury Maze. A British primary school in the 90s thought it was okay to let kids play with quite a dangerous toy as a treat.
Is that like the 30 seconds, no, 2 minutes you were allowed on the roof at Chernobyl to get that? To get that graphite off.
To get the graphite off.
To get the graphite off. You get half an hour, that's all you're allowed for the year.
I'm actually reading a book about Chernobyl at the moment based because I was really fascinated. This is a bit nerdy, but anyway, I tried watching Chernobyl and I didn't like it.
Right.
And so I went, but everyone was saying it was amazing. So I banned it after about 20 minutes because I found the first scene of the first episode really tacky.
What, him killing himself?
No, sorry, wrong. The first scene of the meltdown itself in the control room.
Oh, right, yeah.
Kind of like a bit like an ersatz Star Wars. And I...
well, that's what it looked like, though, isn't it?
But I stuck at it and I really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it so much that I bought a book by, I think, a guy called Sergei Plokhin, I can't remember how you pronounce his name, about, it's like an exhaustive history of exactly what happened, because I was fascinated about what artistic license they took and what actually went on. It's, it's very, very similar.
Yeah. It's just like Voices of Chernobyl or something like that. No, that's what they based a lot of it on.
Chernobyl Dream is a different one. Right. This one's just called Chernobyl, I think.
Right.
Chernobyl Prayer, sorry, not Chernobyl Dream. Chernobyl Prayer. I've got that as well, but I haven't read it yet. Mm. Anyway, back to Gemma, who, as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I'm aware, was not indicted for anything to do with the Chernobyl disaster. So mind you, this was also the same teacher, the teacher who let them play with the mercury maze for half an hour as a treat, whose idea of a science experiment was to fill plastic bags with gravel to see which supermarket had the strongest bags by weighing them on a co-traction made from a hanging scale.
That's good.
Similar to the one that's used to weigh babies. Two A-frames and a balance beam from the gym equipment. I can't remember which supermarket won, and safe to say it wouldn't be on the agenda today in our war against plastic. A couple of other things. On a very early episode, you mentioned smart speakers and referred to Alexa. During this conversation, my smart speaker started playing Hotel California by the Eagles as a result of something you've said. I've also asked Alexa to play the show, and she tried to play me something called Utter Drivel, which I thought might make you proud. Love the show. It brightens up my Mondays and Thursdays.
Yeah, it's worth reminding people that you can actually listen to us on the old smart speakers. So just tell it to play Luke and Pete Shaw.
Alexa, tell us how Michael Hutchence died.
Alexa, play Gary Glitter, My Gang. Oh, that's on your history now.
Oh, I can't get rid of that.
Naughty.
Hopefully you got your Electron Incognito mode.
Giving him a fucking bit of PRS there, haven't you?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Funding is lifestyle.
Yep, exactly.
But yeah, so
Alexa, play The Lost Prophets.
That's enough.
That's enough.
That won't be on there.
He got in trouble because he had a mobile phone up his bum.
All right.
You know those tiny little mobile phones you get? Because he was bothering one of his exes. You'd think he'd just leave well enough alone, wouldn't you?
He's doing 35 years, isn't he, or something?
Yeah. The things he did. He said that it was the Wings mobile phone and he was keeping it for, you know, solidarity with his wing of the thing. But those tiny little mobile phones that you can fit up people's bums. Very exciting. Great way of...
Is it exciting? Is it a little
very
bit
exciting of technology. It's very exciting.
This is Ian Watkins, is that his name?
Watkins, yeah.
When's he going to get out of prison? Never.
I don't think he'll ever get back out of prison. I mean, his crimes were...
Unspeakable.
Fucking unspeakable.
Yeah, okay.
Even for this show.
Yeah, that is saying something. You did in the chair, Donaldson. Mm. Let's wrap it up, Pete, on that note.
All right,
it's been a disgracefully risque episode, even by your standards.
Well, you
do we apologise for that, or do we celebrate it? We're back on Monday with episode 193. We hope you have a lovely, lovely weekend. Go out and enjoy yourself. If you want to email us in the meantime about anything we talked about, UFOs, alien experiences, abductions, all that kind of stuff, it's hello@lukeandpeacher.com. But you're welcome to get in touch with us for any reason.
Indeed.
Pete, I won't be seeing you this weekend.
Oh, where are you going?
Nowhere, we just don't see each other the weekend.
Okay, I'm off to Rotterdam.
Enjoy. Could be anywhere.
Frankly, my dear, I don't Rotterdam.
This has been a Stakhanov production.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.